The history of the most popular coffee chain in the world began in 1971 in Seattle, Washington, which originally started off as a store that exclusively sold coffee beans. A decade later, Howard Schultz was hired as the marketing and sales director, and he quickly turned the coffee bean shop into a cafe, with his strategy being aggressive expansion as the years went on. But in the 1980s, Starbucks had gotten into financial trouble because the original founders had acquired a company called Peet's Coffee. The owner of Starbucks approached Schultz, relaying his intention to keep Peet's. Schultz was then offered ownership of Starbucks for $3.8 million if he could come up with the funds from private investors within 60 days. Schultz claimed that he had no money and by the end of the month, he'd barely raised half. Only to have the same Starbucks owner approach him, saying that he'd received an unsolicited offer on the table for $4 million from a Titan investor. And if Schultz couldn't raise the money by the end of the month, he'd have to accept the offer. In Schultz's retelling of this story, he relayed these events to his attorney friend. And his attorney friend responded by telling Schultz to come into the office and speak with the senior partner at the firm, who just so happened to be William Gates Sr., the father of Microsoft's Bill Gates. You know, Gates Sr., the attorney who sat on the board of Planned Parenthood before the days of Roe versus Wade. Gates Sr., who married Mary Maxwell, the banker's daughter and the granddaughter of the president of Seattle's Federal Reserve Bank. Yeah, Gates Sr., standing proud at 6 feet 7 inches tall. We're all familiar by this point. So Gates Sr. caught wind of this transaction and advised Schultz to take a walk with him. And they walked down to the unnamed rival buyer's office, where Gates Sr. gave the investor a verbal lashing, saying, "You should be ashamed of yourself. Stand down. This Schultz kid is gonna realize his dream." And then Gates turned to Schultz and instructed him to buy Starbucks. And not to worry, he and Bill Gates Jr. were gonna help him. What a beautiful story, right? It's got everything you could possibly want. Piping hot coffee, the rise of the underdog, and of course, a wise older gentleman looking out for the dreams of a young man. Yeah, sure, it's the same fella who championed the early extermination of many potential dreams through Planned Parenthood. But we won't dwell on that because Gates Sr. made this one American dream come to fruition. Such inspiration. Truly achievable to anyone willing to put in the hard work. And of course, willing to accept a sweetheart deal and work around the quiet shadow ownership of a company. If there is anything Starbucks has been successful at, it's cornering a demographic by selling the cafe experience with the Starbucks cup as a status symbol, with the actual Starbucks logo being what most people think is a twin-tailed mermaid that Starbucks refers to as a siren. But it's actually a hybrid creature, her upper half being a human female and lower half being two fish tails, or two serpent tails. The coffee in that cup comes at an objectively high price. And one might assume that high prices equate to high quality, or at least real ingredients. But when you break down the composition of Starbucks drinks and baked offerings, what you're left with is GMOs, pesticides, high fructose corn syrup, and traces of growth hormones throughout, all of which are linked to chronic disease and fertility issues. Even the milk is GMO, from cows that are fed a diet of GMO corn. And that corn is sprayed with pesticides like Monsanto's Roundup. If you've ever sprayed Roundup in your yard, you know from experience that it kills everything it comes into contact with. So what does it mean to ingest it on the daily? So Starbucks' priority should be to get away from the GMO Monsanto ingredients, right? Well, let's follow the money and demonstrate why they can't. The breakdown of Starbucks' ingredients might just be an accent point on the story, but it's actually a really big deal, since we can draw a distinct line between the Schultz-Gates Starbucks sweetheart deal and the company that controls a majority of the world's food supply. Monsanto originally began as a chemical company, eventually evolving into a pharmaceutical company, then partnered with the military to give us Agent Orange, the insecticide DDT, PCBs, and artificial growth hormones, which have done nothing but leave a trail of destruction in their wake. Monsanto has had to pay out millions upon millions of dollars to settle lawsuits because of the harmful effects of their chemicals. So they eventually shifted their focus to agriculture, and guess what? Now they control our food supply. And they were able to stay true to their roots by introducing chemicals and genetic modification to crops. If we follow the trail of money from the origin of Starbucks, the breakdown of Starbucks ingredients leading us to Monsanto, we arrive at 2009, when the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation purchased 500,000 Monsanto shares. Or at least, that's what was published and documented in that fiscal year. In other words, that's an investment we know about. Bill simultaneously bought a huge amount of shares in Cargill, a faceless agri-giant that rules over the world's food commodities. And by doing this, he effectively has a huge financial stake in the world's food supply, and that supply is controlled by companies with less than pristine reputations. And that's putting it lightly. Later, Bill Gates invested millions and millions of dollars in plant-based meat alternative companies like Beyond Meat and the Impossible Burger, sold across upscale restaurants, supermarkets, and even fast food places like Burger King, Carl's Jr., and now Starbucks. The CEO of Impossible Foods is Patrick Brown, a Stanford biochemistry professor specializing in DNA research, whose father worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. While marketing professionals will engineer campaigns to paint these plant-based meats as healthy alternatives, it's proven and documented that these burgers use GMO soy and vegetable sprays with Monsanto Roundup. Recently, Monsanto was acquired by Bayer for $66 billion. Bayer is a German pharmaceutical company that was part of the IG Farben conglomerate back in the Third Reich, and was convicted by the American military of taking advantage of the absence of legal and ethical constraints on medical experimentation to test its drugs on unwilling human subjects during World War II. You'd think that Bayer would have learned their lesson and maybe tried to behave, I don't know, a little more ethically over the decades, but no. They have just as many scandals and lawsuits as Monsanto, like recently, when Bayer Laboratories realized their blood products were contaminated with HIV and decided that their financial investment in these products was too high to toss out all their vials of blood in a fiery dumpster. So they sold their HIV-tainted products to South America and Asia without the courtesy of a warning. Yes, this is the company that controls our pharmaceuticals and food supply. Aren't we all thrilled? No wonder Bill Gates is making it rain on these companies. They're literally the MVPs of his and his family's passion, population control.
Ma sabiria di Billy. Udag lasot patent lifne azman. Aikar za patent cha kesef ikanes elav. Velo lahin shani merosh hisun afilu la blof shel corona. כי הוא צריך לדלל אנשים, יש לו לדלל הרבה. לפי מה שהוא אומר, בשלב הראשון זה 15, זה בערך 2 מיליארד. 2 מיליארד ככה, פחות או יותר הוא רוצה לדלל, וזה כבר עובד. לא יאומן כי סופר. רוצו, רוצו להתחסן טמבלים, רוצו. ביי.